p.m. at the Mission Theater, 1624 Northwest Gleason Street in Portland. Minors allowed with parent or guardian. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Jeremy Scahill, author of Dirty Wars, and you're listening to KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, March 15th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, Community Sanctuary Solidarity. It's the hour of the hoobug, people. Really, I'm telling you. brace yourself for what is to come. Every day, sometimes every hour, the Trump administration gets more and more increasingly bizarre. And just starting with Mike's name, Pompeo, we're about to have the toga party to end all toga parties once Mike Pompeo hits Kim Sun-un. And that basically blows all our togas off. That said, just a little weather before we launch into it for today. There's an iffy chance of rain and temperatures around 56. And tonight, same thing, iffy for precipitation, 37 degrees is the overnight low. And for Friday, tomorrow, sunny, partly in a high around 57, lows overnight 39. Into the weekend we go. mostly cloudy, highs around 55 for Saturday. Saturday night we've got a low of 39. Into Sunday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, highs around 55. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, overcast skies, and a bit drizzly out there, and a low around 38. That's it. That wraps it up. Brings us all the way through to Monday morning. Maybe. I mean, I've come to the point where, you know, I try not to schedule important things too far out. In fact, under the current administration, I try not to schedule anything. We've got Stephen Zunis on the line waiting patiently to talk with us and to go over a little bit more about what Mike Pompeo might actually be and what he is going to sign off on, that wafting out of the highest floors of Trump Towers in the White House. Much the same these days. Stephen Zunis, of course, has been a welcome guest on the program in the past. He's a professor of politics and international studies at the University of San Francisco and one of the sharpest minds on Middle East analysis. And his latest blast at the ramparts of elective stupidity is published in these times. He's a shoo-in that Mike Pompeo is going to be installed or screwed into the Rube Goldberg machinery of the White House. He's, of course, got the Koch brothers' money behind him, and he is indeed a far-right ideologue. But let's hand it off to Stephen Zunis, because he's the man that knows more about Pompeo than, or at least all about Pompeo, that you could possibly stand. Good morning, Stephen, and thanks for coming on the show today.
Hey, good morning.
It's great to have you. So this is kind of this. What were some of Trump's other options that he might have? Who were some of the other possible
Well, actually, some of them were at least as bad, if not worse. I mean, there was talk of John Bolton.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, Bolton.
Whom he may bring in, actually, as national security advisor.
Oh, wonderful. I can hardly wait for that.
You know, but in any case, what's significant about Pompeo, I think, is that as bad as Tillerson was on in many respects, he was sometimes the only adult in the room when it came to foreign policy. I mean, he tried to keep some of Trump's more dangerous impulses in check and demonstrated at least some respect for protocol and international cooperation. But Pompeo is a right-wing ideologue who's only going to reinforce Trump's most dangerous and reckless and militaristic instincts. This guy's a former Army officer. He's a West Point graduate, so he adds yet another former military officer to a top position. And you know, he was first elected to Congress as part of the Tea Party wave of 2010. And you know, he's the kind of guy who he's promising to roll back the Iran nuclear agreement during the height of the sensitive negotiations. He insisted on going to war against them because he thought bombing Iran was a better way of stopping them from developing nuclear weapons than a binding and enforceable negotiated treaty. He insists that Iran, in his words, is intent on the destruction of our country, and has therefore said we must you know, change the Iranian regime in self-defense. He said we should not make a single concession to North Korea on anything. He's a big supporter of Netanyahu in the ongoing Israeli occupation, colonization of the West Bank. A couple years ago, when Amnesty International issued a report criticizing Israeli occupation forces for extrajudicial killings, he responded by praising what he called the Israeli military's admirable restraint and their professionalism and thanking them for all they do. He's a big supporter of torture, and he called the people in Guantanamo Bay that were implicated in torture as patriots, and insisted that senators who questioned the use of such illegal methods were putting American lives at risk. He's also a notorious Islamophobe, you know, saying Islam's a threat to America and that American Muslim leaders are potentially complicit in terrorist attacks, you know, if they don't, you know, if they don't condemn them as vigorously and repeatedly as he thinks they should. The point is that, yeah, there are a lot of these kind of crazies in and around Trump and, of course, Trump himself. But the Secretary of State is America's chief diplomat.
That's what's lost.
I mean, he's the guy who's supposed to show restraint and support diplomacy around the world and support the thousands of American Foreign Service officers, many of whom are quite reasonable people. This guy is an ideologue. I mean, he's really bad news.
And he's, you have to wonder, Trump himself does not come, is not a military guy. He doesn't, in all probability, know a great deal about the people who are military people, he doesn't know a great deal about them. So he's basically shooting in the dark, or there has to be someone whispering in his ear, because this can't be a two-person toga party. It can't be just Pompeo and Trump. Somebody else. There are other voices. Who do you figure would it be the Koch brothers?
Koch brothers were the original sponsors of Pompeo when he ran for Congress. He's very close to them. They've put more money into his campaigns, I think, than any single congressional candidate. So you know they have a seat at the table. And of course, one of their big issues is undermining any efforts to fight climate change. And the irony is that even though Tillerson is a former head of ExxonMobil, he believed the U.S. should at least stay in the Paris agreement and oppose Trump's withdrawal, whereas Pompeo is a big supporter of the withdrawal from the Paris Accord, and because he basically claiming that Obama signing on to the treaty with literally every single other country in the world was simply bowing down to radical environmentalists. This is Pompeo's view of a very modest and, you know, step in the right direction, but still inadequate Paris Agreement. So basically what Trump was looking for, you know, was someone, you know, who would, you know, see the world as he did. In fact, he said as much in making the nomination. He wants people who see every problem as a threat that needs to be dealt with by military force rather than an issue that can be addressed through diplomacy. And he finally has his man in the top position in the Department of State.
And then comes remarks on national TV to the effect that this guy is an improvement over Tillerson, and Tillerson being bad enough, you know it's off the scale as far as this, all of this is so, would have been so absolutely unthinkable a year ago. And
even if Mitt Romney or John McCain, you know, had ended up winning, I mean, these guys are really bad news on a whole number of levels. But, you know, at least, you know, they as right wing as they are, they respect the State Department and the and the diplomatic processes and things like that. And Tillerson, I mean, he decimated the State Department. I mean, he ended up not filling a bunch of positions. He ended up, you know, getting some of our top diplomats, you know, who were, you know, real professionals, technocrats, to go and to shuffle visas in a basement office. You know, some of these people were like former ambassadors, you know, he had no respect for the career service. He did so much damage to the State Department. I know a number of former State Department officers, and their consensus is that Tillerson was the worst Secretary of State ever, but or at least in modern times. It's pretty clear Pompeo is going to break that record pretty soon.
This is the thing. The White House is seriously understaffed. Trump himself has no understanding whatsoever of what the Secretary of State is positioned to do. The damage, what I wonder about, people have talked about Ryan Zinke and the fact that the damage that he will do is irredeemable. It cannot be undone. What about this? This is very bad.
Being a leftist and anti-imperialist, you know, I've never been a great fan of the State Department in general. But the fact is that most of the people who enter the Foreign Service really do so out of a sense of service, out of a sense of duty. Many of them, not all, but many of them do really do care about a democracy and making it a world a safer and better place. But these folks are resigning in droves. And a lot of people, including some of my students, I teach politics. These are politics majors. Some of them are interested in going into to government service. They're not even thinking about the State Department anymore. So we're losing our best people. And even if you take a kind of a mainstream view of U.S. foreign policy and the State Department, that kind of thing, you ought to be totally shocked about what's been going on, first under Tillerson and now. I mean, I guess you could be cynical. You could say, you know, maybe the U.S. Losing its leadership standing in the world is a good thing. But, there's a downside to it, well, you know, meaning that China and Russia. More authoritarian states may rise to the fold.
Thank you so much for that, Stephen. We're out of time now. I want to talk more about this with you. I've still got questions here about the situation, Middle East geopolitics and the damage could be done there. But if you got a good, well, I would refer listeners to the story in These Times, and that's a good place to start trying to understand what's happening. It's a good time to start understanding the State Department because there's so few people. It makes it easier to understand what's going on. Stephen, thank you so much for being with us today. Good. And this has been...
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Eric Cascadia for Wednesday, March 15, 2018. Derek Crooks engineered the show today. And Derek Crooks is, of course, our AM and News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.